none of us lives for himself only, and none of us dies for himself only. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die. And so whether we live or die, then we belong to the Lord. For Christ died and rose to life in order to be the Lord of the living and of the dead. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. We gather as the people she loved, in the place that she loved, to worship the God that she loved, the God who holds the keys of life and death. We gather to remember, celebrate, and honor the life of Margaret Ann Cantrell Miller. And as we remember her life, let us give thanks, let us forgive, and let us look forward with hope. Let's pray. O God, eternal, immortal, and invisible, who cannot be seen with the eyes of flesh, grant that we might behold you with the eyes of faith. May we feel the comfort of your Holy Spirit as we, in this small way, try to express our love and appreciation for one who enhanced our lives through all the years of her faithful service. May we find comfort in your presence through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hymn number 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand.
Oh, on a day as we remember a woman who lived a life of faith and love. May we find comfort and strength in the book where she turned for guidance and wisdom on a daily basis, reading two passages that not only meant a lot to her, but also modeled who she was in her daily walk with the Lord. First, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Margaret worshiped the Lord with gladness every day on this earth. And we know she continues to worship in the presence of her Savior this day. Now, reading from a familiar passage to each of us, a passage that describes the life of a faithful woman. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms for the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I want to repeat just one of those verses. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. That is Margaret Miller. Margaret Miller feared the Lord, and the works of her hands and her heart should be and will continue to be praised. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Father in heaven, whose love is infinite and in whose will is our peace, be present with us in this moment today and enable us to not just hear your holy word, but through patience and comfort be raised up above the shadows of mortality into the light and joy of your presence. Father, be with Gary, Jason, Stacy, Kristen, John David, the grandchildren, George, Alice, and Wayne, and the rest of this family this day as they grieve the loss of this special woman. May they know we grieve with them. And as family, we lift them up, not just this day, but in the days to come. May each of us find comfort in your word this day. We lift this prayer in your son's name through him who died and rose again and ever lives with you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now I know why Norman wanted me to come after the choir sang. That's so not fair. Many tears have been shed. Not just this week. Amen. Many tears have been shed over the last couple years. And not just by the Miller family, but by this church family, this community. And this choir is made up of not just First Baptist Church of Elon choir members, but Grove Park Baptist members. And thank you for joining the choir today, because Margaret impacted not just this church, but our community. She impacted many across Alamance County. And that's limiting, not just Alamance County, but across the state. And the imprint that she had on so many lives, so many students, it's astounding. This is not what I wrote to say today. It just hit me. It's truly humbling to speak today. So thank you. Thank you, choir. Thank you for honoring her. I had the great fortune to know this special woman, the special lady, for 28 years. 28 years. And I could sit here and talk for hours, but he has to talk too, so I won't do that. I told him I would keep it short. I'm supposed to do the short part, and he's supposed to do the long part. We'll see how that goes. As I reflect on my relationship with Margaret Miller, I thought about the defining, how that relationship changed through the years. And I came across four words to define my relationship with this amazing woman. It started as music director, co-worker, mentor, and then friend. These are the four labels that I will use to describe how our relationship evolved as we are here to honor and celebrate this woman. Margaret Miller had a lasting impact on my life through this congregation here at First Baptist Elon, and that's how I'm going to honor her today. It began as music director when my family began attending First Baptist Elon as a middle school teenager. Margaret would lead worship here on Sunday morning. She sat right there. She stood right here. And she led from worship. And I sat back there on the back row trying to ignore everything she did right here on a Sunday morning, just like any typical hot middle school teenager would. I loved coming to youth group on Sunday night, but to come to youth group on Sunday night, I had to get through going to youth music first. And Margaret knew that I did not like coming to youth music on Sunday night. But as any typical middle school teenager, I had to come to music. And I did not like church music. I am not gifted in church music. And Margaret knew that, and she recognized that early on in my life. So she didn't pick me to sing solos. She didn't ask me to sit at the piano. She didn't want me to play any instrument. But she took some extra time to teach me the importance of what church music meant. It meant honoring God. It meant the value of what it truly means to understand who God is and what it means to make a joyful noise to God. She invested that time. Even though I didn't like that time, she invested time in me. So as that music minister, that first label, the time she invested in that, I don't think she realized what it meant to me. And I think I kicked myself a little bit that I didn't mention that. I didn't share that with her. It took me 27 years to share that with her. I don't think she realized that extra time that she spent with me during those middle school years would eventually lead me to being her coworker in my early 20s. That second label. After I graduated college in the early 20s, I began working here at First Baptist Elon. I became Margaret's co-worker. She was still standing right here. She still sat right there. But then she sat down the hallway from me. Margaret was the individual that I turned to when I had questions. Margaret was the individual that myself and Mark Mofield turned to when we had questions about the church, when we had questions about the history about this congregation, when we needed help with ideas. Margaret was the one I turned to when I had an idea and I wanted to go ask her about it. I was fortunate to be able to call Margaret a fellow co-worker for over 10 years, where I got to see a minister who not only loved her job, but she loved the people that she worked with. I saw her pour out her heart and her soul into a cantata performance. Not just the prayer that she did about this performance on a daily basis, but the preparation. Not just the performance that took place, but the afterwards where she prayed about the impact that it had about the people sitting in the pew that got to hear it. The behind the scenes. That's who Margaret was. I saw her shed tears of joy, celebrating successes of her students. And some of her students are probably maybe sitting here today. Some of them are not, but I've seen the Facebook posts about the students that she had impact on. I saw her shed tears about those individuals. I saw her shed tears over the loss of her choir members or her friends. Through these experiences, the conversations we had in our ministry together, I look back and realize my relationship as co-workers quickly changed from co-worker to mentor. Along the way, Margaret taught me not only ministerial lessons to help me become a better minister, the minister that I am today, but life lessons that helped me become a better person. I was able to watch Margaret balance family and ministry. Not an easy task to do. She cherished her family. Gary, Jason, Kristen, grandkids, you know you were her greatest pride and joy. We had numerous conversations about it. Some good, some bad. Can't share those conversations. And she taught me that family was the priority. Not the job, but family. The life lessons did not end there, though. Margaret taught me it was okay to make mistakes. I think there were times that the ideas I had that she knew were going to make mistakes, she let me make the mistakes, and then she would come back afterwards and tell me what I did wrong, right? You know about those, right? But then she was there to help me understand what the solution was or how to do it better the next time. I think she learned that model from her Savior. Balance, love, family, and joy. Margaret Miller. I could go on and on about the life lessons that, as a minister and a life mentor that she was. But each leads to me to that final label that defines my relationship with this amazing woman, and that was a friend. After 28 years of learning, working together, mentoring, and ministering, this is the label that I cherish the most. I cherish the time that we spent laughing, crying, working together, ministering, reminiscing, planning, hanging out, dreaming, and just simply serving the Lord. As this last diagnosis of cancer took hold and the prognosis was not good, there were times where I would call and check on Margaret as a minister, doing my ministerial duty. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What's the next doctor's appointment? And inevitably, 10 seconds into the phone call, it wasn't a ministerial call anymore. It was the call of a friend. Because we wouldn't talk about the diagnosis. She would ask about the church. She would ask about somebody else, a choir member that was not doing well, a friend that she hadn't been able to get in touch with. How are the boys doing? What is going on with that? She would tell me about the grandkids and what the next latest grandkid expiration was. She would share about her kids. I would share about mine. And it wasn't ministerial. It was friend. Friends talk. That's what we would do. 2 weeks ago when I was able to last visit Margaret, I planned on stopping for 5 minutes, and I told Gary that at the door. I'm coming here to stop by for a real quick visit. I ended up staying for over an hour because that's what friends do. And we talked about a lot of things. I sat with my dear friend, and we reminisced. We talked about the good times. We talked about the coming days. And we talked about the future of the church. I thanked her 27 years. It took me 27 years. I thanked her for putting up with me as that rotten little middle school teenager. I thanked her for being my mentor as a young minister. We did what friends do. And that was the last conversation I had with her. I'm going to miss those conversations. Gary, the ministry that you did over the last 4 years is to be commended. Jason and Kristen, and to the rest of the family, thank you for sharing your mother with us. She was a gift. Thank you for sharing us her with our congregation, for allowing her to have the impact that she has had on us. Her impact was amazing inside the home, the church, the community, across the state, and across this world. Her faithful walk with God could be seen in the relationships that she built and nurtured, and may we each do the same with the days that we are blessed with. I know I'll try to do the same. I hope each of us will too. We had a great model. May her legacy live on through us, and may we give God the glory. May we give God the glory, just as Margaret did. And all God's people said, amen.
Hymn number 425, He Keeps Me Singing. Let us stand.
May we hear these words of comfort and hope from the New Testament. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, for I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And this fills us with a living hope. And so we look forward to possess the rich blessings that God keeps for His people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you. You who through faith are kept safe by God's power as you wait for salvation, which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many kinds of trials you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. And so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested that it may endure. And then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You love Him, although you have not seen Him. And so you rejoice with a great and glorious joy, which words cannot express, because you are receiving the purpose of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of life, for its wonder and mystery, its interests and joys, its friendships and relationships. We thank You for the ties that bind us together. We sorrow this day, O Lord, that death has invaded our circle of family and fellowship. And yet we cannot help but celebrate and remember with joy the goodness and positive influences of Margaret Miller in her home, in her community, and in this church she loves so dearly. For Lord, we shall forever treasure our memories of that sweet, warm smile and the joy and goodness that has passed from her life into the lives of others and has made this world better for her presence. Father, give comfort and grace to her dear family and friends this day and in the days ahead. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, Margaret, I got to say something first. Margaret always chose the appropriate music, as David alluded to, for our worship services, and she didn't let us down today. All the music was picked by Margaret. Of course, you know that. The list was about that long, but we didn't want to be here till 7 or 8 o'clock, so we narrowed it down with her blessing. Margaret was very, very humble and never wanted to be the center of attention. She rarely sang solos in the worship services. She left that to others of us. But she did have one song she liked to sing. She loved to sing it. In fact, it became her signature song. She wanted to sing the song one more time. And so she and Gary, toughly, decided that we should play this recording today of Margaret singing. You think it's tough singing, talking after Majesty. So now, play the song, Jerry.
Back from heaven, upon the journey I had made from birth, I dreamed that I was standing there with Jesus, discussing what had happened down on earth. He pointed out where we had walked together, and I could see his footprints next to mine. They started where I trusted him as Savior, two sets of footprints in the sands of time. But then I saw something that was a mystery. The places where it seemed I was alone. Those times when I saw just one set of footprints. I asked him where it was that he had gone. He looked at me and said, I never left you. That set of footprints that you see are mine. Those were the times, my child, when you were carried. Those are my footprints in the sands of time. He looked at me and said, I never left you. That set of footprints that you see are mine. Those were the times, my child, when you were carried. Those are my footprints in the sands of time. When life gets hard and nights are long, he carries me. He gives a song. I am secure. I fear no harm when I am held in Jesus' arms. One set of footprints, sometimes two, when there's just one, he's carrying you. He'll carry you. He'll hold your hand. Two sets of footprints in the sand. One set of footprints, sometimes two. When there's just one, he's carrying you. He'll carry you. He'll hold your hand. Two sets of footprints in the sand.
Thank you, Gary, for sharing that with us. It was her decision too, wasn't it? Yes, it was. I can see her standing here singing that song in those ugly green robes we used to have. Sorry, whoever picked them out. We did have green carpet in here in those days, and had the green sash. Gary and Jason and Kristen wanted me to say a word of thanks to all of you who have prayed and called and visited and shared foods and sent cards and done so many things for Margaret and the family through these past 4 years of that awful battle with cancer. And Gary especially wanted me to say a word of thanks to Liz Hill. From the day she had surgery until, I guess, last week, Liz Hill has sent a card to Margaret every week for 4 years. And as Margaret said, they weren't cheap ones either. Simple acts of kindness go a long way in helping people make it through difficult times. I went to see Margaret about, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks ago. And we were chatting along about things. And she says, "You got any trips planned?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I'm going on a cruise the end of March." Well, who knew? She said, "Oh." So we talked on another 30 minutes or so. And then she said, "Well, I guess if you're gone when I die, David will have to do the funeral." I said, "Wait a minute, Margaret, are you asking me to preach your funeral?" She said, "Well, of course." That was a sly way of getting me to do it. But she could always get me to do about anything. So here we are. Our loved one died at the age of 75. It might be more appropriate to say she moved from life to life, because from the Christian perspective, death is a commencement. And though we're never completely ready for that day, for that separation that death brings, and we sorrow deeply in parting, and yet from a larger view, it's a merciful release. Margaret and Gary has endured long the suffering of her illness, which could have only increased in the coming days. She faced frustration and confinement, sleepless nights, discouragement, pain, and helplessness. Her treatments robbed her of her ability to do the things that she loved to do, like playing the piano, like singing, playing the bells, or just attending worship services and the activities with her friends and church, and especially with her family. But death has terminated this unhappy estate. It has brought her spirit release from this earthly environment, and she is now free to begin life anew in the presence of her Lord. Amen. If we have faith in the Christian promise, can we not be reconciled by the awareness that this earthly life we live is not the total book of our personal experience, but only the opening chapter? Not our total existence, but only preparation for the everlasting life. Not the house, only the porch of our Father's mansion. As the fertile growth of spring and the sunlit days of summer and the light frost of autumn prepare the leaves for their winter departure, so through the seasons of our lives, God prepares us at the appropriate time to leave this world so that we may begin life in that world without end. And the appropriate time for Margaret Miller was around 7:40 a.m. on Thursday, March the 12th, 2020. Margaret was a Christian lady. She was a lady. She took to heart what Jesus said about loving God and loving your neighbor. Acts 10:38 says of Jesus, he went around doing good. And that's what Margaret Miller did. She went around doing good in the name of her Lord. In all of her relationships, first of all, in her home, in her church, her work, her community, and in her play and pleasure, Margaret practiced the relationship of love in her life. We all know that Margaret had the gift of music, and she used that gift for her Lord her whole life. After serving at Grove Park for 14 years, where she met the love of her life, we were fortunate enough to have her come to First Baptist Elon, where she served from June the 23rd, 1982, until her retirement in December of 2012. David, I think I got a few more years on you. Just a couple. When I came here in 1987, Margaret took me, as she did David, she took me under her wing. She had experience with these people here. And so she taught me about all of the members of this church. Your loves, your idiosyncrasies, all kinds of things which we won't discuss. But I had to learn, and what better person to teach me? She welcomed me into her home. She welcomed me into her choir. She encouraged me to sing solos in church. One of the things that impressed me greatly in the last few weeks was just a reminder of our relationship. As sick as she was, she and Jason took time. She found some old tapes that Aunt Azelle had recorded of me singing, and they put them on CDs and gave them to me so that my kids and my grandchildren would have my music. That's just the type of person she was. Always thinking about somebody else. We planned our worship services together. It wasn't just me, it was us. I'd tell her what I was thinking about, and she would always pick the appropriate music to go with my sermons. In fact, I think, as we talked about last night, I think she could read my mind. And that's a dangerous thing to do. She always knew what to do. Sometimes she would be down in her office humming and singing, and all of a sudden she'd come to mind. She'd put this tape in your player and listen to this. I think there's a sermon in there for you. And I'd play it. And sure enough, she was right. She was right. She was in tune with our congregation and our needs. Still amazing. I think we made a pretty good team. She even told me that the other day. We had similar beliefs about theology, about the nature of worship, about music, and about families. We were both born in the month of November. Both of our firstborn children were named Jason, and both of our firstborn sons played the trombone. And we both had a dog named Brandy. Go figure. Go figure. Margaret not only led our adult choir, but she developed children's choir, lots of choirs around here, a youth choir called Enjoy. Thanks, Kristen, for sharing those names that I couldn't remember. We had a girls' choir named Shine, right? We had a women's ensemble named Sweet Assurance. Some of you sweeties still here? We had men's quartets. And I started thinking about that when I was listing the names here. We must not have been too good because we didn't get a name. You know, she led us to do some big musical things. We did the best Christmas and Easter cantatas I've ever heard. We did that big musical, God With Us. And boy, did she work hard on that thing. And so did we. She led us into recording a CD for the 50th anniversary of this church. And I cherish that thing and play it every week. The music is just so inspiring. Thank you, choir. And it always reminds me of her. And we can never forget the children's musicals we did, old Down by the Creek Bank, and of course, old Salty. Some of you around remember Salty, I think. She made me dress up like a hymn book, put this big thing over me, made me wear a wig and paint my face. Funny thing about that is we went and did Salty. We took it on the road and went down to Northside Baptist and sang there. And afterwards, I took off my wig and washed the mess off my face. And Amy Nix came up and she said, "I wondered who Salty was. I didn't know it was you." Thanks to Margaret. She had made my mess out of me. She made us work hard in rehearsals. I mean, really hard. But she liked to cut up, too. Some of us really liked to cut up. And we did it in rehearsals, like John Dawson, Wayne Hughes, and the ringleader, me. And we'd carry on for a while, and Margaret would let it go, and then all of a sudden, she'd give us the evil eye. And we knew it was time to get down to business. Being the gentleman that I am, I won't mention the names of the women who like to talk during rehearsal. And she gave you the evil eye too sometime. Yeah, you remember. She did that for a reason. Because Margaret believed that our music was a gift to God and that we always should give our best gifts to God. And we did. We did. Of course, we also had a partner in all this, and it was called Gary. He used to hide out there in the corner there, pushing the buttons and making sure we had the right sound and the music coming up. That was a good partnership, Gary. 25 years, wasn't it? 25 years. But Margaret was much, much, much more than just a minister of music. As David said, she was a friend and a confidant, a counselor and a teacher to not just David and me and probably Mark too, amen, but to so many of you too, within the confines of our church and in our community. She was just that type of person, and we are blessed because Margaret Miller was part of our lives. She was a loving wife to Gary, a devoted mother to Jason and Kristen, a mother-in-law to Stacy and to John David, a special sister. And of course, she was Nana to Grant and Owen and Wesley and newly arrived Maxwell. It's nothing like a Nana. and she was one. Most people only saw the serious side of Margaret, but she could let her hair down too. I have to tell it, Gary. Gary told me that after they had been married a month or so, he always came home for lunch. And after a month or so, he came home one day and she had prepared leftover chicken from the night before. It was chicken legs. And Gary says, "I like my leftover chicken cold." And she had heated it up. Next month, he came home one day and they had leftover chicken legs. He picked up a leg and bit down on it, almost broke a tooth. And she looked at him and said, "Well, is it cold enough for you?" She had put the chicken leg in the freezer. Message given, message received. I'm glad you're laughing, because it's all of this sadness. This is a day of celebration. It's a day of celebration. Our lives have been deeply, deeply influenced by this Christian lady. And although Margaret suffered greatly these past 4 years, even in suffering, she had things to teach us. She taught us about fighting hard for the things you love, about holding on to hope, and about being held in the loving arms of Jesus. Toward the end, she was ready to go home, ready to go. And so, dear family and friends, now Margaret Miller can say, as the Apostle Paul said many years ago, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." May the memories of the one you loved and the one who loved you dearly open your hearts to the peace that Jesus desires to give you today. Let's pray. And now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. For with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have made ready in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your way and to give glory to your people. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the holy name of Jesus, the one that Margaret so loved. Amen.